Well, I don't know how much television you watch or how much radio you listen to, but every once in a while they have something called advertising on there. Are any of you getting tired of some of the advertising, particularly in this season? Just think, two more days and political ads will be all done for you, okay? I do want to encourage you, if you haven't done so, to get out and vote. And that is a privilege that God has given to us in this country. And if you need some advisement, well, talk to somebody, okay? So, you know, what a privilege we have, a wonderful land that God has given to us. But once those advertisements for political parties end, then you get to go back to your regular car, medicine, or other advertising, right? Wrong. Christmas is just around the corner. Now you get to listen to all the advertisements about all the wonderful products that all the stores have for you that are bargain priced, and they are the best in the whole world, and you need to come spend your money at their store, right? See how far your dollar can stretch for that one. Well, all kinds of things that we are told that we need to listen to and sort through and decide what's right, what's wrong. A school principal received a phone call one morning before school hours began, and the voice on the other end said, "Thomas Bradley won't be in school today." And the principal thought that voice sounded a little bit strange, and he said, "Who's talking there on this phone?" And, "My father?" Yep, he got caught on that one, didn't he? A new lawyer was in his new office, standing behind his new desk, looking at his new chair, thinking about all the new prospective customers he would have as a lawyer. And he heard the door open, and he quickly grabbed the phone thinking, "I better look like I'm busy." And he started talking on the phone and rambling off a bunch of stuff, gibberish, acting like he was in a very important phone call. And he hangs up the phone, turns around, and faces the person that came in and says, "How can I help you today, sir?" And the man said, "You can't help me at all. I'm here to hook up your phone." Whoops, got caught on that one. Yep, we have to sort through a lot of information, a lot of details. Some of them are true, some of them are false. We are confronted with deceiving tales and lies, information, constantly. We are warned by our parents. We are warned by our friends. And we are warned by God throughout the Scriptures to beware of liars and deceivers. Our text presents a conversion of a man who was a professional deceiver. That was his occupation, and he was good at it. We find him in a continuing battle to put away his evil past, his evil practices, his evil desires, as he learns to serve the living God. And so our text comes from Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 24. Let's read that passage as we get our mind on Scripture today. "Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. Now there was a man named Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, 'This man is what is called the great power of God.' And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, They were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and he was observing the signs and great miracles taking place. He was constantly amazed. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." But Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." This is an interesting passage, challenging passage in some ways, but we're going to be looking at it and sorting through that. Would you join me in a word of prayer before we do so? Thank you, Father, for your scriptures. Thank you for your love for us. And we thank you for redemption in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the dedication of your servants from ages past who faithfully went about preaching your word, serving you, and doing your will according to your plan. Father, as we examine this passage of Scripture, help us to come to a better understanding of its meaning and the guidance that you have for us here. Help us to guard our own hearts that we would not try to, by your power, your will, your desire, but that we be fully submitted to you, obeying you, and allowing you to work in your plan, in your timing, for your glory, the glory of Jesus. Be with us now, we pray. Lead us, guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thought I want to deal with in this passage is beware of self-proclaimed powers. Beware of those with self-proclaimed powers. Simon the sorcerer achieved his greatness through magic. He used the sleight of hand, astonishing tricks, other methods to deceive his audience. He was a professional trickster. He was also possibly tapping into the powers of Satan. We are told in scriptures that Satan has deceiving powers. And this man was utilizing these powers not from God, but from trickery and possibly from Satan himself. He was such a master of deception that he had gained public fame as what? The great power of God, carrying that name, accepting that name as if he was from God. But then the real power of God showed up as Philip began preaching, proclaiming the truth of God, and as God worked miracles through Philip. This got Simon's attention. He was amazed at the true power of God. He knew what it took to trick people. He was familiar with all of the art of deception, and he couldn't figure out, how in the world is Philip doing that? How do you heal people? How do you cause demons to be cast out? He had never experienced that. He had never achieved that power before, so it grabbed his attention to see real power of God at work. He became a follower of Jesus himself. Jesus warns against false saviors, people like this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, Jesus warned about those who claim to be a leader, a savior. We are repeatedly warned in God's word to be wary of anyone who is boastful, arrogant, proud, self-serving. As a matter of fact, we are called to follow the right example of true individualism through Jesus, through God. Our example and our model is to be Jesus. What did Jesus do? He left all the power and the glory of heaven and came down to this world to become the servant of who? All. Jesus came to serve all of us, and we are to pattern our life after him. We are also to pattern our life after God the Father in heaven. What does God do for us? God rules the universe, yes, but he also gives us life. He gives us abilities. God gives us blessings. How many of you put an order in this morning for air? You didn't do that this morning, did you? You just automatically expect to have air to breathe. How many of you put an order in today to see Brother Bob, exception? You know, we just automatically accept all these blessings and gifts that God gives to us. I deserve them, right? Wrong. God gives them to us. God gives and gives and gives. And we just think, well, I deserve it. That's just normal. No, they're all gifts from God. And we are taught to do all things for God's glory, to be his servants. Colossians 3, verse 17 and 23, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. We are here to serve God, not to serve ourselves. The real source of all power is who? God himself. God is the source of all true power. He is the Almighty. He is the powerful creator. He is the one who sustains everything. We are told that by the word of Christ, everything holds together. If it wasn't for the power of God, everything would just fall apart and disappear. God brought it into being, and we are told that it will be God who removes his sustaining power, and it will all disappear. It'll all flee away. An honest person must give God the credit for all that he does, all that he is, all that he is capable of doing every single day, because God is eternal. We are just here temporary. We are his servants. Today's powers are attributed to various political beliefs, military strength, education. You can make a whole list of things that people are considered as powerful. But compared to God, they are nothing. Because God is the one who authorizes power to begin with. God allows us to enjoy a little bit of power. They are no match for God himself. They will never take over. Genuine power comes from God and by his methods. Philip served others in the power of the Spirit of God. The miracles performed through him and the apostles were not achieved by trickery, but they were raw power of God working in those individuals, in the creative act of God at work. God's power is the greatest, and it will not be outperformed by anyone. Even the demons obeyed the voice of Philip and the apostles. Now, Simon the sorcerer had never seen that. Otherwise, he would have been actively engaged in the process. Simon and the crowds were amazed at these powers, these miracles being accomplished. The only explanation of such power was that God must truly be at work. We thought, Simon, that you had the power of God, but no, I'm sorry, buddy. We are seeing real power now. It's through Philip preaching in the name of Jesus. It first came through Philip, and then here come the apostles, John and Peter, to help out the church that had started in Samaria. This divine power was a fulfillment of Christ's promises, if you remember. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 records Jesus telling the apostles, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now, it started on the day of Pentecost. The apostles, the 12 apostles, tackled God's plan of evangelism with the help of the power of the Holy Spirit. It drew the crowd so that they could preach to the crowd. God's power worked through their language, changing languages into in a miraculous way that got the people's attention, and that power continued to work. After all, remember, they were all jailed one night, and what happened? An angel came and delivered them. How many of you would like an angel like that? Got them out of prison and sent them back out into the square of the temple to preach the gospel again. Amazing, everybody around them. The Spirit enabled the apostles to pass on that divine power to the seven deacons. I firmly believe we have the example that Stephen worked in powerful displays. Now we see Philip was also acting in these powerful, miraculous ways. We see further in verse 17 and 18, it records that under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were capable of passing this miraculous power on to other individuals by the laying on of the hands. But they first had to pray that the Holy Spirit interact in the behalf of the people. It is very important to remember, the Holy Spirit decides which gift He will give to a believer. It is the Holy Spirit who decides which gifts and who will receive those gifts. In verse 15, we see that the apostles had to ask for the Holy Spirit to bless more workers with these gifts that the Holy Spirit would give. But Simon was not one of the recipients of those miraculous gifts. He got left out. Now, always before, he was the one who was the center of attention because he had those trickery gifts. Everybody couldn't figure out how he did it. And now he's totally left out. That's interesting. Why didn't the Holy Spirit give Simon the sorcerer gifts? Because the Spirit knew his heart. The Spirit understood what he was going to try to do with the power of God. Paul discusses the various gifts, ministries, and effects that the Holy Spirit provides in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And again, verse 11 very specifically says that the Holy Spirit decides who gets what gifts. It's not up to us, it's not up to people to decide which gifts to pass on that were the power of God, unique and special beyond human capabilities. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are different from the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that. A lot of people get confused reading through this passage. They read back there in verse 15, "Who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for He had not yet fallen upon any of them." A lot of people say, read that and say, they didn't have any of the Holy Spirit? You have to take this in the context. As you read on down through there, we see the apostles began laying on the hands and passing on these miraculous gifts. Miraculous gifts. That's not talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit, but the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. In John chapter 16, verse 7 through 14, we are told, and we had this passage read earlier by Brother Birchall, that The Holy Spirit works on the hearts of unbelievers before they are a believer to convict them, to convince them that they need Jesus. The Holy Spirit is out working in the hearts of every person in the world trying to tell them, you need a Savior. And the Savior is who? Jesus. Trying to lead them to that belief. So the Holy Spirit is constantly working in your neighbors, in your family members, in your friends, in your enemies, trying to convict their hearts that they need to submit to the will of God to accept the Savior that He sent for them. We are given a promise in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that God sends His Holy Spirit into the hearts of every believer as a gift. So God gives us His gift of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, every person who believes in Christ and is buried in the waters of baptism is given the presence of the Holy Spirit. He moves in and begins cleaning house in your life. And Romans chapter 7 and 8 talk about that. Other passages of Scripture talk about those things. That the Holy Spirit is actively involved in helping every Christian become more like God. And He is praying those prayers that we don't know how to pray in the behalf of us before God the Father. He starts changing us from the inside out. And then we are told in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. You've never heard this section of Scripture before. He gives us His fruit. You remember hearing about that before? Yeah. His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these attributes of godliness begin infiltrating our spirit because God's Spirit joins our spirit and changing us to be God's children. He is present in us. But then, when the Spirit decides, He will empower you, as Paul shares in the book of 1 Corinthians, possibly, maybe, some other ministry, effect, or other gift for you to use for the glory of God. The apostles were blessed with these supernatural gifts, I'll use that term, something that is beyond normal, the ability to heal, the ability to cast out demons, the ability to perform miracles, those things, but it's only when the Holy Spirit decides to give those gifts at the right time. We've been talking in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians in not Thessalonians, Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul's work in Ephesus. Paul is going through a list of different people. Was Paul able to heal himself? No. God did not heal him, Paul, from his affliction. And we learn of another individual that Paul left behind, I forget his name now. Starts with a T. It's a long name. Anyway, he was left behind. He was not healed. Even though he was a Christian, even though he was one of the workers, Paul did not allow him to be healed because God did not heal, work His healing power through him. So it's only when the Holy Spirit wants to do it for the purpose of honoring God that He will give these special gifts, ministries, or effects. We need to be humble enough in our own will, submitting ourselves to the power of God, allowing His Spirit to work in us, especially through His fruit. But then if He ever decides to use us in a miraculous way, it will be His will, not our will. We pray, not my will, but Thine be done. Amen. And God will do what He sees fit in the right time, in the right way. The last point I want to deal with is the real power of God cannot be bought. The real power of God cannot be bought. Simon, who had been a leading sorcerer, thought that he could just control the power of God, manipulate it according to his own personal discretion? Wrong. Who's in control here? Simon still thought he was in control when it must be God in control. God's power has never been for sale to anyone. God is the Creator. He grants to us the gift of life in His creation. He lets us live in spite of our sinfulness as He patiently waits for us to humble our proud hearts to become His slaves. We are to become His servants. And if we are willing to become His slave, His servant, then He graciously adopts us to become His children. Sometimes we get that all twisted up. Well, my family's always been a Christian family. I deserve to be in the family of God. Wrong. We are adopted by God by our faithful living for Jesus Christ. We are grafted into the tree, Paul uses the analogy. We don't fit in the family because we are foreigners unless we become a people faithful to God. Then God grafts us into His family. Then we become His children. And then we are warned, be careful, don't get too snobbery, don't get too high uppity, because God can cut you off just as easily as He grafted you in. So we have the promise, we have the blessing, and we have a warning along with God's goodness. Let's truly be adopted children as we gladly serve Him through Jesus Christ. The power of God is displayed throughout His creation. We can't buy or put on hold the sunrise, the sunset, the beauty of the flowers, the ocean tides, a thundering storm, or the majesty of the stars. God shares all of these things with whom He wants, when He wants, and we are the blessed recipients. God has given Christians some of His power for free. Romans 1:16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You already have God's power. Are we not satisfied with what we have already received? You have the power in your hands, in your memory, in your mouth to help somebody change their life. To go from serving Satan to serving God, as you share the message, the powerful Word of God. We who believed in and obeyed the commands of Christ have been and continue to be changed by His power. We have been commanded to freely give this powerful message of life in Christ to every person who will listen to us, just as Philip and others were doing in that first century church. We see that God's power is not limited to miracles that are performed by some of God's servants. God's greater than just miracles. God's power is also in His Word. We just talked about that. The Almighty God is the source of all power and all authority. He intends and desires that we use those powers and that authority for good. But we are allowed the choice of using it for good or evil. How will we use the power of God? Will we abuse it or glorify our Savior? Remember, we will all give an account in the end for how we use the power that God does give to us. You have power. Parents have power over their children up to a certain degree, right? Up until those children start making their own choices. You have power of influence over certain people. What are you doing with that power? Some of you have been blessed with gifts by the Holy Spirit. What are you doing with that power of those gifts? The Apostle Peter has led was led by the Holy Spirit to identify that Simon was still controlled by his sinful desires, not fully surrendered to Christ. The man needed to repent from his bitterness, from his corruption. But are we in the same boat? Do we try to buy God's power or forgiveness through maybe giving in a little extra offering because, you know, I did something wrong this last week. Maybe I better give God a little bit extra money. Maybe I can buy some forgiveness. We don't use those terms, but isn't that what we try to do sometimes? Maybe I better do some more good deeds. I haven't been doing enough good deeds here lately. Maybe I better go out and rack up some points. Maybe I better show up for church. I haven't been in church like I should be, so maybe, you know, I've been doing some bad things. Maybe I can make up for those bad things by going to church. We're approaching it all wrong. Serve God because you love Him. Don't try to buy Him. Don't put yourself in jeopardy by thinking you can outsmart God. Do we covet the powers that God has given to somebody else? The abilities? 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 teaches us that every Christian still has sin in their lives. That sin is a constant enemy of every person. As long as we live and breathe, we have sin that we must overcome. And we need to be quick to confess our sin. The Apostle John tells us that. So let our prayers and our lifestyle be one that is already working the power that God has already given to every believer. I would encourage you to do these, make an attempt. Allow the Holy Spirit to change your desires to His will. Share the good news of life with Jesus with anybody that will listen to you. Do the deeds that will honor and glorify God with the power and the wisdom that He freely gives to all of us. Let's allow the real power of God to work in us for His glory, not ours, for His. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for your working powerfully in your people, in your time, in your way. Thank you for working in us and through us as we surrender our life to you. Let your Spirit transform us, rework us, use us according to your plan. We thank you for Jesus, our Redeemer, and for your presence that you give to us. Lead us and guide us as your servants, as your children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.